Welcome, everybody. Wednesday night, Beyond the Parsha. So good to see everyone again. I'm sorry for the lack of title earlier in the week. It kind of came a little later. We are going to talk about not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, seven, eight, nine, 10, counting Jewish people. Is there an Isser in terms of counting Jewish people? Now, before we start, just wanted to got a reminder from Susan Rabinowitz. Anyone who wants to put in their Purim orders, Mishloach Manos, whatever it may be, just a reminder to do so as soon as you can. We're going to talk tonight about counting people and whether that is allowed or whether it's not. Good to have the Gabbai here because we always got to figure out when you're counting for a minion. That's where it comes most relevant. When you're not sure how many people you have and someone's going around, not one, not two, not three, not four, some people go, what else? What are some other options that people do? Hoshia Esamecha. Is there any sort of source for that? We're going to discuss that. Some people might want to say Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Hey, is that any different than counting in a different situation, maybe using different types of numbers, maybe writing it out? All of these ideas of counting the Jewish people, and the obvious reason for that is that this past week's Parsha in Kisisa, we just had the census where they counted the Jewish people, but we all know that this is also Parsha Shkolim, and the way they would count was through the Machatzis HaShekel. They would not just go around per household, say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Instead, everyone would give this half shekel, and they would count through that. Is there a reason for that? We will get there in just a few minutes. Very good. We will get there in just a few minutes. But before we do so, we will go through the Parsha as we like to do. So the Parsha starts off, Parsha's Vayakel, a great Shnayim Mikra week, shouldn't take too long. So you go through Parsha's Vayakel, you start out with some Shabbos, and then you get into the rest of the setup of the Mishkan. You have the curtains, you have the partitions, you have all the various things happening, the covers and the everything happening in the Mishkan. It's another Mishkan-related type of Parsha. One idea that we find common throughout all of these parshios is every time we are introduced to the head contractor, so to speak, of the Mishkan, who is the head of the entire Mishkan building and all of the Mishkan process, Bezalel. And every time Bezalel is introduced to us, we kind of get the same introduction. Look at what Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur is doing. Now, we get the point. We were already introduced to Bezalel, and we know he's ben Uri ben Hur. Why do we constantly go ahead and do Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur every single time we want to discuss the guy who was in charge of the project of the Mishkan? So to answer this question, Rav Fran took a fascinating approach, and we're going to expand on it just a little bit. He spoke about the fact that one of the main yesodos to get out of the Egel HaZahav. Last week we read about the Egel HaZahav, one of the worst sins that have ever been done. Was it the Erev Rav? Did they really have some sort of justification for sinning? Maybe they just needed some sort of medium because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there. Probably my favorite shot in as to why Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Lukas, when he goes and hits the rock and he can't go into Eretz Yisrael, pretty harsh punishment for something that doesn't seem to be such a big deal. Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu go in? What was so bad about it? Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu go in? You guys probably think I'm crazier because it's not even what we were talking about. You'll see in one second. Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu go in? Because when Moshe hit the rock, it wasn't necessarily a punishment that he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, but it was a consequence that he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. This is what the principal used to say in DRS, the head of punishments. It's not a punishment, it's a consequence. All right, you know, it's certainly an approach. So I think it wasn't a punishment, it was a consequence, because the people were too dependent on Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. They were too dependent on Moshe Rabbeinu. People started to forget about the fact that they had God. Comes the Egel HaZahav, they have God there, but there's the intermediary missing. Moshe Rabbeinu's not there for just a little bit of time, and all of a sudden, all is lost. And we spoke about one of the main yesodos of the Egel HaZahav is this idea of savlanut, of patience. We see the lack of patience that the Jewish people had. Just wait one more day. Give it a little bit more time. You're not sure? Give it a little bit more time. But no. We need a rush. We need to figure out what's going on. We need to get this done. And this is what we said, the first Mishnah, or one of the first Mishnayos in Avos, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, what are one of the main lessons taught? Hevu Misunim Badin. We need to take our time in judgment. We don't just jump into things. You got to be patient. Reuven, when he moved his father's beds, it was a lack of patience that caused this entire sin. Now, we know the Mishkan was a major kapara for the Egel HaZahav. That was one of the main purposes of building the Mishkan. Well, how is this the kapara for the Mishkan, for the Egel HaZahav? How does it even work? So we explain based on the following Medrash. The Medrash tells us that the Mishkan was a six-month project. It was a six-month project, but as opposed to any other real estate project you will ever be a part of, it finished 3 months early. and it was 3 months early to finish, and it was unbelievable, and they were going to open. But Hashem said, no, you're going to wait until Rosh Chodesh Nisan for the Chanukat HaMishkan, for the opening of the Mishkan. That's going to be the birthday of, that's the birthday of Yitzhak Avinu Avoda. We want to make sure it lines up. So they just had to wait for 3 months. What's the purpose of that? So someone who explained, this is exactly why it was a kapara for the Egel. The Egel, where they were so rushed under pressure, we got to do. And they were so not calm. They were so tense, and it really caused everything that had happened afterwards. Comes the Mishkan, and we say, yeah, it's ready, and you've been waiting so long for it. Whew. Take a deep breath. Relax. Be patient. You got to learn patience in order to get this full kapara for the Egel HaZahav. Now, back to our original question, Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. What was Hur's role in the Egel HaZahav? So Hur was killed, right? The Chazal teach us that Hur got up to go and say, guys, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. And he got killed on the spot. In fact, this was why Chazal teach us that Aaron HaKohen did play some sort of role. Aaron would be part of the Egel HaZahav. What, are you kidding me? But Aaron saw what they did to Hur, and he saw that if he would have protested in the same way that Hur did, they would have killed Aaron. And the Gemara tells us that Aaron knew that if the Jewish people went ahead and killed Aaron, that's it. There's no coming back from that. That's too far. So Aaron sacrificed his own name. The thing is where Rabbi Glatt spoke about in Shul. Aaron sacrificed his own name so that the Jewish people would have a future. The ultimate sacrifice. But Hur was the one who really sacrificed. Now, if we looked at what Hur's results were, if we had to say, oh, Hur, he did a good job, that's a bit tough to say. He made a protest and was killed, and the Egel HaZahav happened. So he didn't really accomplish anything. Nothing happened because of Hur. But that's not how we view it in Judaism. Our efforts in this world, no matter whether we see the fruits of our labor or not, we know that we go l'dorei doros. We know that we are not just in it for ourselves, we are in it for the long game. We try to leave a legacy. We're there to go and make a better world for our children, grandchildren, for the next generations that come after us. Comes the Torah and says, Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, how was Hur able to go ahead and be the leader? Hur didn't have the technical skills of someone who would be the ultimate architect. They didn't know anything. But Hur had this special leadership ability. He had this special Bezalel had this special leadership ability. Bezalel Kel, he was in the shade of God. How was he able to go and get this quality trait? So some want to say that he got it from his grandfather Hur. Hur gave it to Uri, and Uri gave it to Bezalel. It all came from Hur. Hur, you might have thought Hur was, he was killed in the Egel process, and they did it anyway. He wasn't even able to stop the Jewish people, but no. It was only because of Hur and the lessons that he passed down that his grandson Bezalel was able to go ahead and lead the Jewish people to building the Mishkan, which ultimately was the kapara for the Egel HaZahav. So while it might seem like Hur failed, Hur did the farthest thing from failing. He went ahead and gave them the reason why they were able to succeed in the future. Hur was a hero in this story. Even though it may seem he was a forgotten something that doesn't matter, he was a hero in this story. And there's so many stories we can go on in our history, and just in sure people that we know, where someone was davening for something and really pouring their heart out, working hard towards something, and they might have thought, oh, I failed, it was worthless, it's for nothing. But generations later, maybe not that far off later, somehow you see that Yeshua. There's the story of a guy whose family was very far off the derech, wanted nothing to do with Judaism, and every single day he'd go to the shul and daven that his family should get back on the derech and they should one day get back in the fold of Torah and mitzvos. And the grandson was very far off, but one day he was walking by a shul, seemingly random shul, and he heard the shofar blowing, and it just pierced into his heart, and he went into the shul, and they needed him for a minyan, and something, he was able to go and eventually get closer, and it turned out that was the same shul that his grandfather had been davening in all those years that he should come back. You never know these things. The tefillos don't go to waste. None of the mitzvos that we do go to waste. We don't know the impact that they will one day have. We have to stay strong and have chizik, even if we don't necessarily see the Yeshua right away. Idea from Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. That's why it goes into every single detail. Fine. We always start with a parsha idea. That leads us now into our discussion. So we know last week we read about the census. We read about the fact that Hashem counted the Jewish people, and we will read a few more counts, but more specifically in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. Says the Pasuk in Bamidbar. I didn't make source sheets, didn't have a chance to go and make it. I made myself some, but if anyone needs any sources, you can tell me. So Hashem tells Moshe, go and count the Jewish people, based on their families, to their father's house. Go count everyone, everyone from 20 years and up, go ahead and count them. Go ahead and count everyone. Hashem tells Moshe, you got to go ahead and take a census. Says Rashi on that pasuk, the Gugul Osam, al yidei shkalim. The way that you are going to count is through the machatzis hashekel. You're obviously not going to go ahead and count regularly because that would be ridiculous. Really, why would that be ridiculous? Well, let's go back to our parsha last week. Says the pasuk in last week's parsha, ki sisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael of kudehem. You're going to go ahead and count the Jewish people. V'nosanu ish kofer nafsho l'Hashem b'fkor osam. You're going to go ahead and give this machatzis hashekel. Each person's going to go and give. Lo yeva negef bifkoto sam. And this way, there's not going to be any sort of plague to you people. Zayit nu kol alvera apakudim machatzis hashekel b'shekel hakodesh. You're going to go and give the machatzis hashekel. So this pasuk seems to be where the pasuk in Bamidbar, where Rashi in Bamidbar gets it from. Why would it have to be by the machatzis hashekel? Because we know every time you count, it's got to be on the machatzis hashekel. Otherwise, v'lo yehbahem negef bifkoto sam. Otherwise, there's going to be some sort of plague. Says Rashi, what's so dangerous about counting people? So says Rashi, shehaminin cholepo ayin hara. Interesting. Because when we're counting people, that goes and brings upon the ayin hara v'hadever ba'alehem. And then a plague comes on these people, Kemosha Matsinu Bimei David. It goes ahead and becomes a very dangerous situation. It brings the Ayin Hara on you. So we've discussed in the past, what exactly is the Ayin Hara? Well, it seems there were a few different pshatim as to what exactly the Ayin Hara is. For our purposes, for this pshat, what seems to be the pshat in the Ayin Hara is that when we go ahead and single people out, it is dangerous because then each person, each individual person is going to get a renewal of their din. No matter how safe you are with all of your accounting and you have Isaac as your accountant, you're amazing, everything's going great, you do not want to be audited. It's not something that we ever want. It's not something that we ever wish upon anyone. It's just not something that's fun and not something that usually ends well. And even if it does end well, you are sweating the entire time. So if God's going to go and take a look, if everyone's going to be singled out, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous time. So that's why we want to be careful. That seems to be the pshat in the Ayin Hara in terms of this context. We've spoke about the Rav's idea of Ayin Hara based on Yosef, Bein Poras, Yosef, Bein Poras, Ole Ayin, that Yosef is above the Ayin Hara. What does it mean? And the Rav explained that oftentimes we hold ourselves back because of what certain people think of what we are doing and what certain people think of us. And we let that stop us from where we want to go, and we cannot let that happen. Yosef HaTzadik, if he would have listened to everyone else who was telling him that he's trash, he's nothing, he's worthless, he never would have accomplished anything in his life, but Yosef HaTzadik did not listen to them. He did not let the Ayin Hara overcome him, because that's how the Rav defined Ayin Hara, but for our purposes, we're going to define it as the singular judgment, and that's what we want to do. This goes back to the Yachid versus Tzibor. We want to be part of Am Yisrael. We want to be part of Klal Yisrael because when we're judged as a whole, we have a much better chance of succeeding. That's why davening with a minion. Because when we're part of a tzibor, it's very hard for Hashem to go ahead and turn us away. But as a yachid, it's dangerous. Not that it's necessarily going to be bad, but it's a little dangerous. It reminds me, Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson has a fantastic spiel, I guess, on anti-Semitism in terms of Jews versus non-Jews and how they view people. You go to a Jewish person and you ask them, what do you think of the Jewish people? And they'll say, oh, Mika Amcha Yisrael, who's like us? It's unbelievable what the Jewish people have accomplished and they've persevered and they're amazing. And then you go to that same person, you say, what do you think of your neighbor? Oh, he's the worst. He's a terrible guy. He's horrible. What do you think of this guy? Oh, he's horrible. You should see the way he acts and this and that. Oh, terrible. This guy in shul, are you kidding me? It's terrible. So that's the Jewish perspective. The non-Jewish perspective is, oh, the Jewish people, they're the worst. Those Jewish people, they're always stealing, they're terrible. Yeah, but what about your surgeon? Isn't he Dr. Bernstein? Oh, that guy. That guy's amazing. Your accountant. Oh, well, that guy's the most honest guy ever. You got the Klal versus the Yachid impact when it comes over there. It happens to be a very good point. When I got to think a little bit deeper about it, I'm like, that's fantastic. So we want to stay away from it because it's dangerous for whatever reason. Either it's the Ayin Hara, some want to say it's a Din and Gaiva. This idea of Yachid versus Tzibor, it's something that we certainly want to stay away from. They say the story with in the Rav Shir, when the Rav was in his prime, and the Rav was, the stories they say, he didn't have much mercy on the people, and not everyone wanted to be called on. apparently, right? So not everyone wants to be called. So they say that the way the shir was set up was the Rav would be giving shir, Rav Schechter and Rav Lichtenstein were sitting in the front, and everyone else was significantly farther back. And any time if Rav Schechter went to go pick up a pencil, everyone would duck and figure out a way to get out of the line of sight. It's dangerous sometimes to be seen in that light. Then Rashi added in another point. Rashi said, "Kimoshe matzinu bimei David." As we see from the days of David, that counting people is dangerous. So what's this referring to? So we're going to have to go and see the Gemara. So it sounds so far what we've said is that you got to count with the machatzis hashekel because otherwise it's dangerous. Either it's a din in gaiva, it's a din in ayin hara, it's yachid versus tibor. We need to be careful when counting people because it is dangerous. Kimosha matzinu b'David. So says the Gemara in Brachos on daf samach beis amud beis 62b. Says the Gemara, a fascinating story. David HaMelech was hated by Shaul. Shaul hated him, he knew that he was coming for his crown, and he hated him and tried to kill him for a very long time. And finally, David HaMelech said, "Listen, Shaul, why are you trying to kill me? What's our beef? What's our problem? If you have a problem with me, let's work it out. If God is making you have a problem with me and God is inciting this anger, then I'll work it out with God. If God's the reason why you're just being so angry at me all the time, we'll just work it out with God. It's ridiculous that God's doing this." And Hashem was a little offended by this. What do you mean that I'm inciting the anger? Amar Belazar, Amar Le Hakadosh Baruch Hu with David, Mesis Karli Karasli. You're calling. I'm the one inciting this hatred. You're blaming me. Hare Ani Machshiocha B'Davar Sheafilu Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban Yodin Oso. So says God, I'm going to trip you up in something so simple that even the average school child would know what to do. I'm going to trip you up. Dichsiv kisisa srosh b'nei Yisrael v'kudehem v'nos nuish kofer nafsho. As we see, it says in the pasuk in kisisa that when you count people, you need to count them with a machatzis hashekel. And miyad v'yamot satana Yisrael. And we know what happened with David. David went ahead against the advice of his general Yoav and decided to count the Jewish people. And because he counted the Jewish people, there was a terrible plague that came. Right? David had the options as to which punishment he wanted, either it was a plague or whatever else was. He had the three options as to what it was going to be. They chose the plague. Tons of people died, all because David HaMelech counted the Jewish people. Something that is an explicit pasuk. All you have to do is just read the Torah, and you see that you need a machatzis hashekel. You can't just count everyone the way they are, because he said that God incited him, so he was punished by tripping in this very simple way. Now, many of the Rishonim are not happy with this. Just because this is David HaMelech we're talking about. Right? He was in the conversation a bunch of weeks ago. We'll see if anyone remembers this. When we spoke about who's going to lead the Zimun up in Shemayim. Right? The comparing the eras. Would Babe Ruth be able to hit a pitch from Jacob deGrom? Probably not, right? There's no way. Okay, but whatever. Forget that. So, going era to era, David might have been one of the greatest of all time. He was one of the greatest of all time. David wouldn't know something that a basic school child knows, and he made a mistake, and he had his advisor advising him against it. And still he was, something's not adding up. And the Ramban says this pretty explicitly. It doesn't make any sense. The Ramban in the beginning of Bamidbar, on the pasuk that we read in first, he says, it can't be that David HaMelech just made a mistake like this, that's so basic, so simple, that cost so many Jewish lives. It cannot be. Ki yada misifram b'fkidas hakofer, ki racho hu esli shlo yizahir David b'masha omar ha-kasuf. It can't be that David HaMelech did not know this pasuk and was not careful in this pasuk. And therefore, says the Ramban, three answers as to what exactly was going through David HaMelech's head. Three answers as to what exactly he was thinking. The first answer, it cannot be that David HaMelech just forgot. It can't be that he just messed this up so simply. So says the Ramban, Bavor Sheminam Shelo Litzorech, Ki Lo Haya Yotei La Melcham Av Lo Asa Bahem Davar Ba'isahi Rak Usmach Libo Shemalach Al Am Rav. So says the Ramban in the first answer, what was David's sin? He actually did use the Machatzis HaShekel. He didn't just count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He used the Machatzis HaShekel. So what would the issue be? He followed the Pasuk. But no, David HaMelech counted them for no reason. There was no specific reason to count the Jewish people. We see in other times in history, like with Shaul HaMelech, when he counted the people, it was to figure out how many people are going to go to war. There, you need to have a census so you can go and allocate the assets in whatever ways you need to go ahead and to make a military plan to win the war. So that's necessary. If God says to do a count, then that's necessary. But over here, David HaMelech was feeling good. He was the king. He wanted to say, how many people am I the king of? So he created this count. And even though it was done with the Machatzis HaShekel, says the Ramban, even though, and this is the Pshat of the Radak as well, even though it was done in the proper way, since it was not done for the proper purpose, that makes it a very dangerous count, and that's what cost so many people their lives. A fascinating answer. Based on this answer, we see there are two things that you need. Number one, it has to be for a purpose. And number two, it can't be directly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It can't be. So we see we have these two factors. That's the first answer of the Ramban. The second answer of the Ramban is that David HaMelech made a different mistake. He also counted with the Machatzis HaShekel, but he started counting people from the wrong age. He was supposed to count from 20 and up, and he started counting them from 13 and up. What exactly this means, I don't really know. It's an interesting answer. I'm sure there's what to talk about. Maybe it's really the same Yesod that he was counting because he just wanted to inflate the numbers to make it look like it was a bigger people. You know, someone asked how many people were in Shul on Shabbos. We always say a few hundred, right? No? Always. Every single week. This past Shabbos, we could say it with truth. But, right? I think we could. All right, whatever. But we always say that anyway, you know? So maybe I'm just as bad as David HaMelech. Okay, that could be. But that seems to be answer number two, that he counted them from the wrong age. But now comes answer number three. And answer number three is back to the basics. And he says, you know what? Actually, maybe we should just read the Gemara and the Psukim as they are. Maybe David HaMelech just made a mistake and he just counted them with his fingers. He just counted them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and that was the sin of David HaMelech. Now, if that's the sin of David HaMelech, we have to go back to the original question. How could it be that he sinned in this way? How could it be that he had made this type of mistake? Aside from the obvious pasuk, his advisor was advising him very clearly against it, and I'm sure he quoted the pasuk as well. So how could it possibly be? So says the Ramban in Kisisa, in the Ramban's only answer in Kisisa. So says the Ramban in Parshas Kisisa, no. Really, he counted without the Machatzis HaShekel. Oh, how could he possibly do it? So no, David had a different suffix. He saw that Hashem told Moshe to count with the Machatzis HaShekel, but oftentimes, there are certain things that Hashem told to Moshe for Moshe to do. How do you know that this was something that was supposed to go on L'dorei Doros? There's no way for us to know that. So that was the calculation he had in his head. It's not just, oh, I don't know this pasuk. No, he knew the pasuk. He just wasn't sure if this was something that was going to exist for every generation afterwards or if this was just specifically for Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, there's a major difference between answer number one and answer number three. We'll forget about answer number two for right now. According to answer number one, you need to do it with the Machatzis HaShekel or with something else other than a regular count, and it needs to be for a purpose. According to the other answer, number three, so as long as you're using the Machatzis HaShekel, you can count for anything. It doesn't have to be for any purpose whatsoever. As long as you're not doing a direct count, then you are going to be okay. So we need to analyze this a little bit further and figure out which answer in the Ramban is true. The truth is that this is a machlokas in the poskim as to which answer of the Ramban is the ikar. Counting for a purpose, is that going to be a situation? Now, to bring in our Israel question for Dan, this is a very common question in Israel. I don't know how often it happens, but every year they do a census? So they do a census to figure out. Oh, very good. So they do this census in Israel to figure out how many people they have in Israel. So they give you a form to fill out, and you fill out your name and the family members, whatever it may be. And this way they get a count of how many people are in the land of Israel by community. So that way they can divvy up the assets and allocate the resources appropriately. So it's something which is important. So when it comes to this curse or whatever danger that occurs. So there's a bit of a machlokas whether the iser, let's say, is on the counter or the countee, but it sounds like the danger goes on the people that are being counted, right? You're putting them in danger by counting them, that you're the one that's singling them out, so there's going to be some sort of danger, potentially even an iser. So you'll find there are certain sections of Israel, certain Haredi sections, Rav Sternbach leads, we'll get into these tshuvas at the end, but the people who follow Rav Sternbach, they say, absolutely not. We can't have this type of counting. That would be ridiculous. Why should we subject ourselves to this ayin hara? This is crazy. So you'll see, they leave out and don't join into the census. So we're going to discuss the various poskim in terms of that at the end. But this is where it comes up. So for no purpose, is that considered a purpose or not? How exactly is counting? Does writing count as counting? Because you're just writing it down. Is that going to be considered? These are the modern questions we're going to have to discuss. Also, we're going to have to discuss, is that enough of a purpose to be considered a purpose?
For sure, it's a purpose. But
Oh, for them, you're saying, especially with the allocation they have.
Get the welfare without being counted.
Yeah, right? That's pretty intense. Must have been a booming year.
This way, nobody knows if you have to go to town.
Well, yeah, it becomes a complicated political question as well. So now there's one more Gemara that discusses this, and the Gemara we actually discussed on Sunday morning, the Gemara is in Yuma on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis. And the Gemara talks about what used to happen in the Beis HaMikdash, which was the Kohanim used to each want the Zechus of doing the Avodah. Whether it was the Ketoros, whether it was whatever it was, all of the Kohanim wanted the Zechus of being part of the Avodah. It was a tremendous Kavod, and it was a tremendous Segula, whatever it may be. It was something you wanted to be a part of. So all the Kohanim would go into the Beis HaMikdash and they would run. They would dash and whoever was bigger or stronger would win. And it got to a point in the Beis HaMikdash where it was getting dangerous. It was getting ugly. In fact, the Mishnayos tell us, if you ever go through the Mishnayos in Yuma, good idea to do on Yom Kippur, someone would once pushed off a ramp and broke their legs. And it got ugly. That was not good. So Chazal said, you know what, we're just going to do a totally different type of institution to figure out who gets to do the Avodah. So they did what the modern-day equivalent of, let's say, 21st finger. Everyone would stick out their thumbs, or a finger or two, whatever it was, and they would pick a number that they would count to. Let's say someone said 21, or 26, or 100, whatever it may be. And you would go around counting the fingers, and whoever's finger they landed on, that person would get to do the Avodah. So the question is that going to be allowed? So says the Gemara, "Tziu etzbo secha m'minyan." So ask the Gemara, why are we doing this whole game with the fingers? Why can't we just count the people themselves? So Rabbi Yitzchak, this goes according to Rabbi Yitzchak. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Asur Lamanos Es Yisrael Afilu Lidvar Mitzvah. You're not allowed to count Jewish people, even Lidvar Mitzvah, says the Gemara. Fascinating. Even Lidvar Mitzvah. Now this is actually a mitzvah of trying to pick who would be part of the Avodah. So we have to say, when Mitzvah, Dvar Mitzvah, is that counting people towards a minion? Maybe. Probably. We'd have to analyze that. Dichsiv, and then it quotes Psukim. In Shmuel Aleph, Ayif Kedim Babezek, quotes Psukim about Shaul HaMelech, that when Shaul was going out to war, he counted people with skin, animal hides or something. So he, Dafka, didn't count them by themselves. He counted them with this. That's a Dvar Mitzvah, because that is clearly talking about war, Milchemes Mitzvah. And still, we see that you needed to count with something else. Elam Ehecha gives another puzzle by Yishma Shaul HaSam, Ayif Kedim Betlaim. He counted them with sheep. Good. Then says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Kol Hamona Es Yisrael over Balav. Anyone who counts the Jewish people is over Alav. Shenemar, Vayam Esprar B'nei Yisrael Kachol Ayam, quotes a pasuk in Hosea. And then another pasuk in Hosea. So some of the Mefarshim are bothered with this Gemara, because two things. Number one, why not bring up the story of David? The story of David, we already brought it up in Brachos. Why not bring up the story of David? But even more troubling is, we're trying to figure out that there's an Isser to count people, and giving sources for this, wouldn't it be better to go ahead and bring a source that's from the Torah as opposed to from the Navi? Wouldn't that be better? If we're really trying to show the power of this Isser, wouldn't it be really strong and say, Ki sisa as rosh b'nei Yisrael v'kudehem v'nosanu ish kofar nafshol Hashem v'kodosam lo yebem negef v'kodosam. It'd be much more powerful to say, look, you can't count. It's a pasuk in Ki sisa. It's a pasuk in Bamidbar. But to say it's a pasuk from Hosea, also strong and something we should avoid, but I don't know, it's a different level. So what's going on? So some want to say, Enochanami, this is really going to be an Isser Dirabbanan. The Rambam actually quotes this Isser in Hilchos Tmidim Musafin, Perek Dalad, Halacha Dalad. And he says, V'lama mona, amin, and he goes through this finger thing. He says, V'lo haya mona al ha'anoshim atzman lefisha asr lamanos Yisrael ela al yidei davar achar shenemar v'ayif gideim batzlaim. He also quotes this Pasuk in Nach. Many want to say from here that it seems to be a Din Dirabbanan. Some want to suggest that the reason they brought this pshat, or the reason they bought this pasuk in Navi by Shaul as opposed to the pasuk in the Torah, is because we wanted to show that it's Asar Afilu Lidvar Mitzvah. Over here, Shaul was going to war. Milchemes Mitzvah is very clearly a mitzvah. But what's the reason why Hashem was counting us in the Torah? What does Rashi famously tell us? Rashi tells us the reason why Hashem counts us is because He loves us so much. And when you love something so much, you want to go ahead and continue to make sure that you have it, to count it, which is very strange when you think about it. When it comes to money, you want to make sure you still have it, that it's still there. But when it comes to people, there, I mean, it'd be pretty offensive to go and, I don't know, it's something to think about, it's something to talk about. as to whether the comparison goes. But that was only because Hashem loves us. So that's not necessarily going to be a proof that it's going to be Asra Afilu L'Dvar Mitzvah. But comes Shoal at wartime and does it, and that does show that even L'Dvar Mitzvah it's going to be a problem. Others want to disagree with this and say, no, if Hashem tells you to count, then by definition, that is a mitzvah. So that is a Dvar Mitzvah. There's no bigger Dvar Mitzvah than Hashem telling you to go ahead and count. Okay, others want to say that maybe this Gemara is teaching us that there's no real Isser, it's just really dangerous. Kind of like when we spoke about skydiving, let's say, or smoking, whatever it may be, those types of things might be usher because of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. You're not allowed to put yourself in dangerous situations. This might be the same thing. You're not allowed to count people because it's putting people in a dangerous situation. Okay, fascinating. Let's just discuss what we've, or catch ourselves up as to what we've discussed. Yeah.
I have a question. Talking about counting. Uh-huh.
Oh, we'll talk about it. We're going to get to our practical applications of it. But yes, definitely school teachers is certainly one of the challenging ones in this regard, as opposed to something else. Yeah.
Take attendance, and you don't count the children. You count that by day.
That's totally fine. Yeah, that's totally fine. That's just seeing if they're there. That's not counting them. That's kind of just checking if they're there. So that would be okay. Oh, very good. So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes also. So yeah, do you teach in a Jewish school or no? So there you're probably fine also. So that's another, but that's a big discussion over there also. It might be even more busy. Oh, we're going to get there also. So how that works. But that could get confusing. If you have 40 kids in a class, Oshia is Samech. Right. Yeah, right. Oshia SS. It can get confusing. But you're right. So we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. So now let's just catch ourselves up. So we had the pasuk in Bamidbar, which told us that Moshe was told to go and count the Jewish people. Rashi pointed out that it was done with Machzah Shekel. He got that from our pasuk in Kisisa, because it says, you have to use the Machzah Shekel because it's dangerous. Why is it dangerous? It's the Ayin Hara. It's something you got to be careful about. Yachid versus Tzibor, we want to make sure that we're not singled out. You kind of want to just fit in with the rest of Klal Yisrael so we don't get a new judgment on just ourselves, because no matter how great we are, we do not want to be audited individually. It's something that is not pleasant. We then got into a discussion as to our Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara said, Kemosha Matzino B'David, or Rashi told us Kemosha Matzino B'David, and the Gemara told us the story with David, and how David was tripped up because he bothered God, so God said, you're going to fall in something that even the simplest school child will know. And David messed up and counted the Jewish people, and so many people died. So the Ramban asked, how could it be that David missed this? How did he just count the Jewish people? So he gave three answers. Answer number one was that, no, he really did use the Machatzah Shekel, but he counted for no purpose. When you count for no purpose, even with some sort of intermediary, that's still going to be a problem. Answer number two was the 13 verse 20. And answer number three was, no, David really did mess up, and the Ramban and Kisisa explained to us that really David did count regularly because he didn't know that this was something that was going to exist from generation to generation. He thought maybe this was just Hashem was telling Moshe and Aaron in this specific situation, and we discussed the difference in these answers. We then spoke about the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says that it's for sure going to be Usher. That's why the Kohanim couldn't just count. They couldn't just count the Kohanim people. Instead, they had to count the fingers, and that would be okay. And the Gemara bought different psukim from Navi, showing it's probably an Isser Derabanan. Maybe it's just an Isser of putting yourself into danger, whatever it may be. We saw various poskim and Rishonim in those regards. So now we need to get to our modern contemporary Shiloh, which is how do we interact with this practically? So the Magen Avram in Orachaim Kufnun Vav Simin Beis tells us it's Asr Lamanos Yisrael Afinu Inim Machavin Lamanos Rakhati Ogora Afilu Dvar Mitzvah. It's Asr to count Jewish people, and therefore what you should do is Elamotin Etzbosem Mumonim Etzbosem. What you should do is back what they did in the Beis Hamikdash. You should count everyone's fingers. Now, Phil, next time you come to shul and you're not sure how many people are there for shachars, okay, everyone gather around the beam and put out your fingers. That would be weird. If you did that, we would look at you in a very strange way. So what do we do? How do we interact with this? So there's a famous Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but the truth is that this is preceded by the Sefer Ha'orah. The Sefer Ha'orah is another Sefer of Rashi, who many people don't know that Rashi has other Svarim. Rashi has Rashi on everything, obviously. Rashi was a monster, in a good way. But Rashi also had a few other Svarim, like the Sefer Ha'orah, they say came from Rashi again. Do we know? They say it came from Rashi, the Machzor Vitri, the Sefer HaPardes. So the Rashi in the Sefer HaOrah says one thing that you could do is maybe use a pasuk to go ahead and count people. And Rashi says his pasuk is Va'ani Berov Chastecha Avo Beisach, and he says that way you'll know how many people you have. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch though, which is the classic thing that everyone here seems to know. He says Tzrichin Lizar Shalom Anasis Anashim LeGugol Some Leida Im Yesh Minyan. You should be very careful when you come into shul. If you need to find if there's a minyan, not to just count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ki Asher Lamanas Yisrael Gugol Sam Afilu Dvar Mitzvah. Because you're not allowed to count them even Lidvar Mitzvah. V'Noagin Leminosam Ba'Amiras HaPasuk Hoshia Es Amecha Shiyesh Bo Asara Tevos. So it's actually quoted, it's brought down. Hoshia Es Amecha Uvarech Esnach HaSecha. Urim, right, what's the song? What's the joke? Urim, 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 Urim. No, okay. Right, they joke that they had a lot of people, right? No, okay. But interestingly enough, that pasuk is not just only special because it has 10 words in that pasuk, but some poskim want to say it's special for a different reason, because what's the whole fear of this whole counting idea? It's because we're afraid we're going to cast an eye on her and it's going to be dangerous for people. So what better pasuk to count people than with Hoshia Esamecha, that God saves the people to go ahead and counteract whatever negative curse would come on people for that. So Hoshia Esamecha seems to be a good thing to do. Some people, if you count in twos, some people wanted to say maybe that might be different because you're not counting them individually, so maybe you're counting a few at a time. That might be a little different. Okay, so that is another idea that we say. What about just saying Aleph, Beis, Gimel and not counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? So would that work? So it says the Kaf HaChaim, Pri Chadash, Os Aleph, V'rabim Toim, Umonim, Aleph, Beis, Gimel. So many people make the mistake and think, oh yeah, it's totally fine to just say Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Demashmu da Israhu Lomar Uno Dos. Says because it would be no different. It's just like saying Uno Dos. Perish Acha Echad Shtayim. I think we knew that. About Aleph Beis Shari. People think as long as you're not just counting formally, but you're using Hebrew letters, Aleph Beis, maybe that would be okay. Vitos Hu Biyadam. That would be a problem. Eloyiru Bimara Sa'ayin Vimnu Bimachshava. So some people want to say also, you could count in your head. As long as you don't formulate it, as long as you don't say it out loud, if you're just looking, maybe that would also be okay. That's another big-time kula. So we've already had a few potential kulas as to how we can get around it. Either psukim, thinking, maybe in groups potentially. Yeah?
One no count.
So we're going to get there. So we'll get there right now. So what about not one, not two, not three? This seems to be a tremendous misconception. For some reason, people think that this works, but there's no source for the fact that that would work. It doesn't really make much sense why it would work. I don't know. What did you say? Right, yeah. People, that seems to be one of those big-time misconceptions, along with other misconceptions that we can make a list. Maybe we'll do a shiur on the top misconceptions in Halacha. It's not a bad idea. I like that. Okay, maybe we'll do that around Pesach time. I like that. Okay, good. Someone remind me of that, because that's a good idea. We probably won't bring it up. Maybe we'll bring it up again, Derech Agav. But yeah, I think that seems to not be such a good idea in terms of, it seems like there are other kulas that we could use that we it's probably better not to use that one. Everyone who I was hearing from was ripping it and saying that it's a joke. But if you find something that talks about it, let me know. But seems to be a problem. Now they talk about, what about writing it down? What if someone's writing something down? Are you allowed to like mark things down in terms of writing? So this is fascinating. There's a Chassam Sofer wrote a letter to a Talmud of the Gra who moved to Israel and said, are you allowed to go ahead and do this? And the Talmud of the Gra said, yeah, it would be fine if it's in writing, but the Chassam Sofer was not happy about it. He said it's not going to be good. In fact, the Ksav Sofer, who was the grandson of the Chassam Sofer, he says that when he was reading some of the Svarim from his grandfather, he saw on the notes on the side that said absolutely usher to go ahead and do it with writing. But many poskim seem to say that it would be okay if it's written down. In that case, it would be okay. Let's see what else we got here. So in that case, then it would be okay. So now this kind of leads us to the modern-day census in Israel. So there were a few kulas that many of the poskim wanted to say. Number one, some wanted to say that it's done for writing. It's being written down, so therefore there's not going to be any issue. If it's being written down, according to many poskim, that was for sure going to be okay. Another kula or reason why some wanted to say that it's okay is because in Israel, they're just counting the citizens of Israel. They're not necessarily counting the Jewish people. It's anyone who's a citizen, which would include non-Jewish people. Others wanted to retort that and say, that makes it even worse. That's more of a bizayon. Okay. Others want to say this is for sure a major tzorech. So according to the one who says that you need some sort of tzorech, this would certainly qualify as a tzorech based on what we saw from the Ramban, because we need to figure out how to allocate the resources properly so we know who's in which place. Others wanted to say that if you're also filling out occupation, how many kids, and it becomes like part of a form, then also it would be okay. So there's many tshuvas on this. There are certain sects that do not seem to hold of it. Rav Sternbach was one of the people who said this does not seem to be like a good idea, but others, the Sri Deish has a tshuva that it would be okay. Rav Vosner started out really against, then ended not as against, but not necessarily for. But it's fascinating that this is even a shiloh. We always like to see how these questions come down to modern times. So obviously every day in Minyan, and when you're on the basketball court, and whatever it may be, but also when you have a major national issue, many poskim again seem to say it would be okay. But one thing we can gain always, many things we can gain from these shiurim, but one thing we can gain is just the sensitivity of each person. We want to make sure that we are part of the klal. It's not good to go ahead and be off on your own. Obviously, we believe there were 12 tribes and everyone had a different role. Each person we know is here to fulfill their own specific role with their own specific talents. And we know that every single individual has a place in klal Yisrael, which is why there's such an emphasis on the individual. But at the same time, we are all part of the general nation. We are all part of the klal. This is what we always try to emphasize. There are two extremes. There are people that are totally focused on themselves, don't care about the klal at all. There are people that are solely focused on the klal and don't focus on themselves and their families at all. We believe in that middle balance where we do acknowledge that we are individuals and that we do have our own lives and we do have our own relationships with Hashem, but it's all in the context of the greater relationship that Klal Yisrael has with Hashem. And Mir Hashem, we should use the zechus of Klal Yisrael to go ahead and do great things. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful night.